Chapter 12 with Mr. M. The Wicked Wolves. Fernwood Forest had changed in the months Mona had been at the Heartwood, ever since her adventure with Brumble. Except for the evergreens, the trees were now mostly bare and the ground was cold and hard on Mona's paws. Plants and flowers had tucked themselves away, and the stream was flowing slowly, gurgling. Winter's near. It's almost here. Winter's near. Yes, the forest had changed, but Mona had changed too. Before, she hadn't minded the slumbering, slow forest as long as she had some food and a place to sleep. Now it felt so lonely and cold and quiet. Already she missed the warm, mossy carpets and the chatter of the guests, the smell of the seed cakes and the song of the swallow. She missed the hotel. But she couldn't go back. Not only because of the rules, which, truthfully, she didn't regret breaking, or how she'd left, rushing out, which already she did regret, but because she wasn't wanted. Tilly had made that clear. And so Mona trudged on, looking for somewhere she could sleep. The daylight was fading, and she tried not to think too much about the first snow festival and all the excitement she'd be missing. When night arrived, she found a hollow log and clambered inside. The log was damp, too damp to make a good home, but mostly protected from the wind. Mona curled up beside her suitcase and traced the heart with one paw. Her stomach rumbled, and she took out one of the seed cakes. Only one, because she wanted them to last. As she nibbled it, the taste brought back a memory. The smell of toasted seed cakes with acorn butter, and her mother's voice, "Seed cakes for my sweet Mona." The picture in her mind was fuzzy, but now she was certain. Her mom had made seed cakes for her. Seed cakes that tasted exactly like this? But how had she gotten Mrs. Prickle's recipe? Now Mona would never know. She had ruined her chances of finding out. Her appetite disappeared, and she couldn't finish the seed cake. She put it back, touching the heart once more, as she closed the case. She shivered. If only she had a cup of Ms. Prickle's hot honey tea. She was just closing her eyes to dream of one, when she heard a voice.
"Any time now, I reckon, and then we feast. Scrumptious squirrels, heavenly hares, meaty moles."
The voices sent shivers up and down Mona's spine.
Shut your trap, came another voice. You're making me drool.
Me too.
Me three.
And then a whole chorus of them chimed in, yessing and yipping and pawing the ground. It was wolves. Mona clutched her case tight and kept very, very still. When the yipping ended, one particularly gruff-sounding wolf said,
"The plan had better work."
"Of course it's gonna work. We wait till we see the lit-up tree. The tree with lights. That's the one. More than enough animals in there to feed our pack, and then some."
But the gruff wolf continued,
"Something's gonna go wrong. I just know it. I don't like all this waiting, Gnarl."
"Waiting is better than chasing jackrabbits, Wince. Did I tell you about the time I found the mole clubhouse? I wasn't hungry for a week, I say."
"How can we forget, with you wearing that badge around your neck like you're too good for us."
"So what if I do, Wince? What's so bad about being a little more refined?"
"We don't need all that fancy stuff. We just need our noses and our teeth. Besides, it's just a myth, this hotel. And we could have been hunting now instead of meeting and planning and waiting."
"Well, if you're so eager, Wince, then why don't you just go back to the Great Woods? It'll leave more for us, more for me."
"You're sure you're right about the lights?"
"I told you, yes. I've heard rumors about the Heartwood. Lots of rumors. I'm right about the lights. They're supposed to be lit when the snow falls. It's getting colder. Should be soon. And when they're lit, we'll find it. It's around here somewhere. The Heartwood Hotel."
"Heartwood? I like the hearts.
The tastiest, broke in another wolf. You're too bad, said another. A big bad wolf. And the wolves began to howl again with laughter. Mona trembled all over. Slowly, carefully, she peeked out through a hollow knot in the log. It was a whole pack of them, some pacing, some lying down, licking their paws. Moonlight glanced off sharp teeth and eyes yellow like fire. She could see the one, Gnarl, who was wearing the mole's badge. It was hanging around his neck from a ribbon that was tattered and maybe even a little bloody. Mona crouched back down in the hollow log, her heart beating so fast it was a hum. That's why wolves had been roaming nearby for months. They'd been searching for the Heartwood Hotel, waiting for the lights to be put up. She had to do something. But before she could do anything, one of the wolves, the one called Wince, barked,
Hey, shut it. I smell something.
Mona froze.
You're crazy.
No, I smell something.
The sound of sniffing filled the air.
Mouse meat. I'm sure of it.
Mona dared not move. Even her tail was as motionless as a twig. She heard the padding of the wolf's paws as a few more got up to join Wince. The sound of their footsteps came closer and closer. This was it. In a moment, they would find her and gobble her up, and there would be no one to warn Mr. Heartwood and the others about their terrible plan. And then, just when she was sure it was all over...
Give it up, Wince. You're just imagining things. All the tasty treats are in the hotel.
But, grumbled Wince,
I tell you, all the animals are there. That's where they all go this time of year. And that's where we'll find them.
Fine, Gnarl, muttered Wince, and Mona could hear him lie down with a thump. I guess even my nose is hungry.
We're all hungry, but soon we won't be. Soon the Heartwood will be ours, but not tonight. I'm going to get some shut-eye. I suggest you get some sleep, too. Rest your stomach before the big feast.
Again, the pack agreed. It wasn't long before the yeses and the yips turned to grunts and snores, and Mona felt her heart begin to slow again. But it was only after the wolves were completely quiet that she took another peek. They were asleep, a mass of gray and black. Carefully, she tiptoed out of the hollow log and crept around them, barely daring to breathe. They were so close, she could smell their vile breath and see the drool dripping from their fangs. Once she had passed the last one, she began to run, faster than she had before, toward the Heartwood.